Hey, I'm Jorm from Chatamize, and today we're going to talk about the future of chatbots, and we're going to talk about it together with Chris from Lambot. He is the co-founder of Lambot and now also the head of customer. Chris, thank you for coming. Can you introduce yourself to my audience?
Absolutely, Jorm. Thanks for having me. So as you said, I'm Chris VR. I'm the co-founder of Lambot and currently the head of the customer success team. So Lambot is a startup based in Barcelona that helps companies build successful customer experiences, chatbots with no code. That's the main thing. So you don't need to write a single line of code. You can create a chatbot in minutes, put it on your website, put it on your instant messaging, and start getting leads, engaging with them, closing sales, etc.
Okay, awesome. And what do you mainly see? It's a main point of mine is that I nowadays see that a lot of different chatbot software companies are built, and like 95% of them are only focusing on Facebook Messenger. You also provide an integration with Facebook Messenger, but also have a really good focus on websites. Mainly websites is your main thing. Why did you choose for that angle instead of just going with Facebook Messenger? Well, what most companies do.
Yeah, so back in the day, so Lambot started, we as a company started in 2015. By 2016, we were already making chatbots for Facebook Messenger. And at the same time, we were starting to play with unofficial integrations of WhatsApp. So instant messaging was our thing, like everybody else's. The thing is that speaking internally with the co-founding team and also with the investors, we realized that we had a huge dependency on these channels. And that was the main point that made us, you know, click and think, all right, let's build something that's for us, built by us, and that's completely independent from third parties. But that time, the WhatsApp Business API was not even official yet. They were just working on it. So everything we were doing was just some, you know, patching different ways of integrating WhatsApp. And we were like, all right, let's build our own channel. That's going to be a website channel. And let's try to build chatbots for it. And let's allow companies to build easily chatbots, not for Facebook Messenger like everybody else was doing, even us, and not for WhatsApp because it's too risky. There's no official integration with them. So let's go for the website because we control it completely. And that's why we were able to build such a flexible tool. Like, you can do pretty much anything. I mean, the website gives you a limited opportunities, and you can from iframe things within messages to create any sort of slideshows, buttons, formats, colors, shapes, like everything. And I think people loved that back in 2017 when we first launched the first version of Lambot.
Yeah, so you just have complete independence from other third parties like Facebook and WhatsApp and Slack. Although you provide them, you also have used your own channel. In case Facebook goes bankrupt tomorrow, you still have a business.
Exactly. So I remember, I think it was 2017 when for some weeks, Facebook decided to stop allowing users to create new Facebook Messenger chatbots. And I remember we built a campaign with a Lambot that looked like a Facebook Messenger bot that as you interacted with it, it will transform into what we know as Lambot. And yeah, I mean, the argument there was, I mean, if you don't want to, you know, get that risk of being part of a third party, something you cannot even control. I mean, from day to night, many, many businesses were like, what am I supposed to do if I cannot build more chatbots and chatbot agencies? And many, many people were really affected by this. So we just see it as an opportunity to do whatever we want to do. It can happen that someone closes the website and it's not possible to build anything for it, but that's very unlikely. So yeah.
Okay, and you also mentioned that you provide an integration with WhatsApp. You're one of the few companies that already provide an integration with WhatsApp, because now they currently, Facebook provided an API for WhatsApp, but you need to get access. How hard is it to get access to the WhatsApp API, and what are the first results with people who already made a chatbot on WhatsApp?
So right now there are basically three different ways you can have access to the WhatsApp Business API. You can request it as an individual company, and it's going to be pretty hard to get that access. So if you're a super big company, you would probably get it. But if you're a small business, it's going directly to speak to Facebook. It's really, really hard. And the other two options is whether you work directly with what they call a BSP, that's a business solution provider. And we're talking about between 70 and 80 providers all around the world. You can get in touch with them and have access to the API that way. The problem if you go directly to BSP is that it usually requires code. So even they give you access to the technology, it's your company that needs to build everything from scratch. And the third option, and I think the one that makes the most sense, is connecting to a platform that's at the same time connected to these BSPs. So Lanebot is a platform that's connected to these BSPs. So you don't have to do anything. If you're a company, you just upgrade to one plan where it includes the WhatsApp integration, and probably in a couple of weeks, you can have everything set up. So you don't need code. You don't need to implement anything. You just need to provide some information. And this platform that's connected to Facebook, it's going to manage all these processes for you until everything's ready. They complete the integration and you've had access to this WhatsApp official integration.
Okay. And do you think that in the coming year, Facebook will open the WhatsApp integration, which becomes way more easy to build chatbots on WhatsApp?
To be honest, I would love to say yes, but the reality is that we've been integrating the official API for over a year now, and I can tell you that it's going super slow, which on one hand is it's a pity, because everything could be evolving way faster if they would just open it up. But at the same time, it's a big opportunity, because many companies are wrong and they think that they won't ever have access to the API. They just need to find the right platform to have a connection with it. So honestly, I don't think that in the next 12 months we'll see how Facebook opens the API. Just to give you some references, there are many, many features that they've been announcing for like 12 months, 12 months, and we're still waiting for them. I mean, they keep putting them off. I think they just want to do things really, really calmly. They want to do things right. They know they have a huge opportunity, and they just want to do things very, very slowly, validate in every single industry they give access to, every single provider they choose to work with, and they just want to do things right, because there's a lot of money over the table.
Yeah. And do you think that you don't think that WhatsApp will be coming? Do you think that Instagram will be coming? Because there are also some signs now that Facebook will open Instagram also for chatbots. Do you think that will be coming, or also not the case?
Well, from my personal opinion is that, yeah, we might see Instagram coming in 2020. We heard some things about Instagram in 2019, and it wasn't anything very specific, but I think that 2020 can be a great opportunity for Instagram. Probably, I mean, not the same way WhatsApp is right now. So it won't be an open API. It would be just the opportunity to connect to Instagram to build chatbots through platforms like they do with WhatsApp now. That being said, given the current world situation with all this corona thing, it might, you know, that might put things off a little bit, probably some months. So, but I'm confident, and I think that probably late 2020 or early 2021, we might start seeing cool stuff on Instagram as well. I mean, it's the next big thing. So yeah. I'm pretty sure it's going to join.
Okay, and what do you think further? How will chatbots develop in the coming year, maybe 5 years to 10 years? What do you think is coming?
That's a very often question, because I think that it's somehow important to differentiate between instant messaging bots and everything else. So when it comes to instant messaging, what I'm pretty sure what's going to happen is that we're going to get closer and closer and closer to WeChat. So I think we got a great example in Asia with how they were able to develop instant messaging apps so they're becoming platforms. They're no longer apps, they're platforms where you can interact with businesses, where you can make purchases, where you can talk to your friends and family. So you can do way, way, way more than just chatting. So yeah. I think that's probably the step. So I see that in maybe 2025, something like that, you'll be opening up WhatsApp, and it's going to be like opening up Google Chrome, and you'll have all your business there. You'll have the companies you've made orders with, You'll have your teammates, but also your providers, your customers. You'll be able to interact with them, but also you'll be able to speak to and to create chatbots for all these little channels with everything that surround you, from companies to individuals. So I think that we'll just get closer and closer to WeChat when we're talking about instant messaging. When talking about the website, I think that we'll start seeing that the real thing about chatbots is probably the bot part. So I think that the chat part was great for in 2016 when all started to grow. It was the easiest way for the technology to introduce to the mass a concept that's some automation. And yeah, it's easier to understand if it's a dialogue automation, like you say something and you receive a reply. But I think that in the next years, we'll see more and more chatbots or bots that are not necessarily just exchanging messages, but performing actions in the back end. And that's something Lambot is able to do now. And so that's something we're betting a lot on. We can speak more about that later, but I think that's the main thing. So it's not only about, keyword triggering and receiving replies and pressing one. So we'll come from what we can say an IVR, like an IVR system with the telephone. And that's going to evolve until you're able to make actual changes on third party apps, on third party databases, with that chatbot technology. But it's not going to be all about the conversation. It's going to be about the process.
Okay, so you think there will be way more advanced chatbot applications than that we have now?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I see a future where you download an app for your phone, and the interface is probably going to be something very, very close to a conversation. Probably not a conversation, because we all heard that the best interface is no interface, and no interface is conversation. That's partially right, but at the same time, sometimes you don't really need a conversation to make something as efficient as possible. Sometimes it feels natural. If you want to get more leads, you obviously need to, transmit that humanity to your leads. But at the same time, if you just want to get this piece of information, maybe a bot can be a static version of a chatbot that just gets that information and sends it somewhere else.
Yeah. And do you also think that what I think about what the future is going to do, especially with the Facebook introducing the new policy and all the hype around it, is that a lot of people will move towards different channels. A lot of chatbots are now just only on Facebook Messenger. And what I see is that currently a lot of people are also moving to other channels like email, like SMS, like WhatsApp. What do you think about it?
Yeah, that's happening. Like, we've seen many, many customers that were using like the most famous chatbot platform for Facebook Messenger, and they're switching back to SMS, which for me, I mean, it makes sense somehow. Like, it's obviously something we all know. We've been dealing with SMSs for over, 20 years now, 30 years maybe. But the reality is that it's not, I think that we should take a look at other channels, whether we're talking about WhatsApp with its huge expansion, or we're talking about the website. So again, I think it's natural for a marketing agency that's building chatbots over Facebook, and then some policies change. It's not so attractive in terms of cost. And they just say, let's roll back to SMS. But at the same time, I think that like you said, they're going to start exploring new channels. So SMS is the same thing. We all know how it works. But there are many, many markets where SMS is pretty much dead. Like probably in the States, it's still a thing. But at least here in Spain and many countries in Europe, like, you receive an SMS and you probably won't pay attention to it. So I think that companies will start realizing about that. They'll start taking more risks, and they'll start betting on new channels, whether it's the website or probably WhatsApp. I think WhatsApp is basically going to take over the whole thing.
Yeah, I also thought that. And when I talked with the director of marketing at Mobile Monkey, because here in the Netherlands, and I think also in Europe, WhatsApp is widely used, and SMS not. And when I talked with her, she said, well, nobody is using WhatsApp over here, of not many. And we're all using SMS, Facebook Messenger, but also iMessage. So I think it's really a cultural thing which messaging app you're using, and therefore it's also good whether you're going to bet on which channel. I think it really depends on your audience and where you also geographically are.
Yeah, absolutely. But the reality is that we do have many customers in the United States, for instance, using WhatsApp. Sometimes we forget the fact that many big cities in the US are formed by, let's say, 20, 25%, 30% of Hispanic people. So maybe they're not offering services for Americans themselves. They're offering services for other markets that are actually really, really WhatsApp heavy users, like Latin America and Central America. So I think that, yeah, it makes sense. iMessage is probably going to develop a lot as well, but there's always this problem with, I mean, not everyone has an iPhone. So iMessage is great, but you need a channel that's available for every single device. And I think that's the key for us with the website. Like, everybody can have access to a website. And same with WhatsApp or even Facebook Messenger, SMS, but not with iMessage. So I think that we're probably underestimating the power of WhatsApp. And I'm pretty sure that in some years, even the Americans will start discovering the channel, and they'll realize how big it is, how much of an impact they can make, especially if they're building these international relationships.
Okay, awesome. I have some statements for you. Business Insider, Oracle, and Gartner all said, I think like 2 years ago, like in 2020, 80% of businesses will use some kind of chatbot automation. To me, like 80% is a lot, is way too much. What do you think about this 80% of businesses?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I thought when you read that was, yeah, that's too much. I mean, from our perspective, it's way too much, 80%. But it really depends on what you consider a chatbot. So it's like, yeah, company, I mean, 80% of individuals are using artificial intelligence. Well, you might think, no, probably not, but we're all using Spotify, right? And there is an artificial intelligence. So I think it really depends on what you call, what you think a chatbot is. So probably you're not directly, paying a subscription to a service that allows you to create chatbots and have them available for your customers, but you're definitely paying for subscriptions. You're using services that are somehow, fueled by chatbots, even if you don't even realize. So I think that in this case, Business Insider and the other sources, we're talking about like real chatbots. And I think that's a little bit too much. I think there's still a long, long way to go. We'll be probably talking about, I don't know, 40 sounds more, yeah, I mean, more, yeah, I think around 40%. But we cannot forget that we still have a lot of really, really small businesses that are not really technological. So it's not, I think 80 is just too much, honestly.
Yeah, to me, I also my estimation was also around like 30 or 40%. But I don't know in Spain, but in the Netherlands, a lot of businesses are just not paying attention to this. I know that there are some magazines and that there are some websites in which they say, oh yeah, we also do chatbots, or chatbots is the next big thing. But essentially, the businesses that use it consistently to drive customers towards the website or towards their local shops, not many. And to my opinion, it's a little bit weird, but also it's a new channel, and it also comes in the beginning, maybe with costs and not only with revenue. So maybe that's something that the people don't want. How is Lambot going to change in 2020? Can you say anything about it? Maybe more platforms, maybe focus on e-commerce? I don't know. What can you say about it?
Yeah, so there are many, many things to come, and I think that, well, on one hand, we're going to bet really, really strong on the no-code movement. I think it's a super hot topic, and it's important for Lambot to be positioned there. Like, when you think of a database, you think of Airtable. When you think of chatbots, you think of Lambot. That's our main goal. So we want to position ourselves as the easiest ever chatbot tool in the market. So you don't need any line of code, any developer, any technical resources to build a chatbot. Obviously, if you have them, you're going to be faster, you're going to be more efficient. But it's the same with any no-code tool. Like, you can use Webflow without coding, but if you know how to code and you use Webflow, you're probably going to take it to the next level. So I think that on one hand, we're going to focus a lot on that position and on that no code chatbot builder, be the reference there. And that's going to come with a lot of marketing effort. On the other hand, when talking more specifically about the product, I think that we'll switch from a TED focus, tweet process focus. So we understand that chatbots work really, really great, like the chatbots we all know about, when it comes to, you know, landing pages, lead generation, when you're asking for some information from your visitors or users, they work great. But probably if you're just logging into an app, it doesn't make much sense to have a chatbot asking you for your email and your password. So I think that we'll play with different formats. We'll still be chatbots, but we'll just give it a facelift. Yeah. And we'll focus on processes a lot. So what's happening on the back end. So I think that the magic of LaneBot is that when you start a conversation, nothing is written. Like everything can happen from then onwards. It's not like a forum where you know exactly which questions come next. Depending on your replies, depending on how you interact with that experience, you can end up completing a payment, processing an order, receiving support, making queries in real time to any API out there. So I think that's the magic, and we're going to focus specifically on that. At the end of the day, if you got text messages, images, carousels, buttons, you cannot make much more out of how it looks. It already looks great. It's super flexible. So let's focus on what's happening on the inside. Let's focus on payments, authentication, on things like that that are going to make it more and more powerful. So companies won't see a chatbot as a customer service rep that's not super intelligent, and they'll start seeing it as a way of automating processes, automating that customer communication, whether it happens with the individuals or it happens on the back end connecting to other systems.
Okay, and for my audience, for the people who don't know what the no-code community is, it's like the community of developers that's focusing on building applications in which you can make something without making any code, without programming.
Exactly. So the no-code movement it really depends on who you ask this to, but probably Webflow is the biggest player in the no-code movement. They got the no-code conf in San Francisco. The first one was last year, 2019. We'll be probably in the 2021. And it's a movement where, like you said, companies allow other companies or individuals to build really complex things, to build digital products, to build websites, to build web apps, channels, whatever they want to build, without having to know how to write a single line of code. So I don't know. I don't think you're a developer. I'm not a developer, but I could use Webflow to build a website. I could use Babel to build an app, or I could use LaneBot to build a chatbot. So it's this movement where the value proposition is, all right, you can build complex things. You can take a step on the technological side of things without having to, you know how to code.
Okay, awesome. And what you said later on, that you were more going to focus on the process side, that would be also including having a lot of integrations with third-party software.
Absolutely, yeah. So there's one big thing we are going to bet a lot on, and it's actually what we call democratizing APIs. So it all comes with this no-code concept. So obviously bringing native integrations to your app, it's really, really cool. Like people love it. They want to see your homepage with a lot of logos, and you just a couple of clicks and you're integrated with Stripe and MailChimp and blah, blah, blah. We do have, like, right now we got around probably 8 to 10 native integrations. But the power is when you give the resources to regular people, to the average Joe that don't know any code, and they can just play with some APIs and integrate tools by themselves. That's the big thing. And I think that's probably the big shift we all need to make. So you don't need, I mean, I can tell you yesterday I was configuring my first webhook. I was making requests and I was saving the response and displaying it as an array of objects. And I was like, yo, I mean, 1 year ago, I was like, what are you talking about? But it's super easy. As soon as you get the mechanics, you're able to integrate anything, and you don't really need code for that. So we'll obviously work in native integrations, but at the same time, we want to, you know, help the average Joe build things by themselves. You know, we are aimed to all the makers, to all the people that want to have access to all these digital opportunities they don't have the resources to. So we're going to make it super simple for them to just pick an app, pick another app, integrate them and have a process happening on its own. You can always use Zapier for that or tools like that. But the first integration you build by yourself, I mean, you feel like you can go to the moon. Like you feel like an astronaut. You're like, whoa, did I this by myself? And I think that's the main thing we're going to focus on, empowering people to build digital things, to build integrations without technical knowledge.
Okay, awesome. What do you want to see in 2020, but also maybe in the 5 to 10 years related to chatbots?
I want to see two things that are probably going to come as a sequence. So the first one would be, I want to see the big cops in the industry opening up their technology, their APIs for developers, because the paradox about no code is that you need code to build no code tools.
So I really
hope they make available for everyone their technology. We're talking about the WhatsApp business API, Facebook's is already pretty open, but Instagram, so on and so forth. So if they open all that technology, that's going to come with all the platforms connecting that technology and offering their services to companies. And that's going to come with the second big shift. So more companies are going to adopt the chatbot technology. So I think you cannot have one thing without the other. So the closer the circle of technology owners is, the fewer businesses will be using the technology. So probably if the WhatsApp Business API would be open source, we'll be talking about 80% of businesses using chatbots in 2020, but it's not. So if we want to increase that number, we need to see, you know, big companies just opening up their services and making them available for everyone. And that's what I'm waiting to see. It has already changed a lot. I remember in 2016, in 2016, you said the chatbot keyword and all the companies were like, yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. But then in 2017, he was like, oh, chatbots. It looked cool like a year ago. But now it's like nobody likes chatbots. I think we need to everything's starting to switch back again. And people are understanding that it's not a choice you have to make whether you work with chatbots or not. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of when you want to implement it. Because I'm telling every single business owner who's listening to us, your company, if not yet, you'll be using chatbots in the next months, in the next years. So it's all a matter of how you embrace that technology and how you make it useful for your own business.
Do you think that eventually all businesses will use a chatbot?
I would say absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about all the businesses, you know what? Yes. Because even like the super small local businesses here, what they all have in common, at least in a country like Spain, is that they all use WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So as long as they use WhatsApp, chatbots will take over WhatsApp and they'll be part of it. So I would say, yeah, probably every single business, let's say in 5-10 years, will be using chatbots. Whether they want it or not, it's just going to happen. That's my guess.
Okay. I also think that. I think that it will be just as normal for a business to have a website as to have a chatbot. So absolutely. I think we will come to that, but maybe I also think that it will cost around 10 years before we are there, maybe longer. Mm-hmm. Do you have some questions for me or some notes that you want to mention to the audience pay attention to?
If I can just, you know, send a message to everybody, hearing us, I would say that don't be afraid again of embracing technology. Like the world is making it super available. Like we're living really, really exciting times. You can do anything. It doesn't really matter where you're based or what's your background. If you can think of it, you can build it. You can go and create an account on Babbel and build a subscription-based company that's making a lot of money. You can build a chatbot in 2 minutes. You can have a WhatsApp integration. You can do anything. So just do some research. The no code keyword, I think it's a very interesting one. Also the chatbot. Stay tuned for, you know, sources like Product Hunt, where they, you know, show the greatest products of today. And I think that, yeah, my message would be just give yourself a try. Understand that you're capable of doing everything right now. We're in 2020. Technology is out there for everyone to just take it, transform it, and use it. So just go there, Google, no code, and you'll freak out. Like, you'll discover an amazing world that's built for you as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, I think it's a nice ending of this video and podcast. It just embrace technology. Chris, thank you for coming. Thank you for participating in this podcast. For the viewer, thank you for listening. Thank you for viewing. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Until next time.